Welcome to Celebrating Whole Health, a program focusing on remembering, reinvigorating, and creating a renaissance of relationship-centered whole person healthcare. Each week, we profile the work of a nurse dedicated to providing compassionate, patient-centered care. I'm your host, Georgiana Donadio, director of the New England School of Whole Health Education in Boston.
Today, my guest is Nurse Janice Gagnon-War. She's a registered, board-certified psychiatric mental health nurse. For 11 years, Janice served as a clinical nurse leader at St. Luke's Hospital, the psychiatric department, and St. Luke's is located in New Bedford, Mass. She is currently conducting a private holistic nursing practice and is a registered aromatherapist and licensed nurse massage polarity therapist. Also, Janice was a member of the Landmark Committee, which affected the passage of the advisory ruling on holistic nursing practice and complementary therapies here in Massachusetts. Welcome, Janice.
Thanks, Georgiana. It's good to be here. How are you?
Boy, have you done a lot of work. In our conversations, I have been just so impressed with the passion and the dedication that you have had for not only holistic nursing, but for bringing wholeness to people as well as to yourself through the healing arts. And you were kind enough to share some of your background, some of your personal background, as well as your professional background. And I'd like to start, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you to share what you were talking about with me about, you know, your family background and and how you were kind of set up to become a healer and caretaker. And I know that the audience certainly would be interested in hearing your story.
Well, you know, I believe we're all wounded at some level. And for me, growing up in the 1960s, 1970s, just outside of Boston, with an alcoholic father, shut me down pretty well. I was also, at the same time, attending a parochial school where daily we would beat our chests and say, I am not worthy, as part of the prayer liturgy every day.
Double whammy, huh,
Janice? Double whammy, yeah. You know, growing up with an alcoholic parent, there's a golden rule of silence that you learn to abide by. You don't acknowledge what's right in front of you. You have this proverbial pink elephant in your living room, and no one discusses it. As you don't say what you mean, you don't mean what you say, and that's how I grew up. By nature, I was a very empathic, very caring, very intuitive little girl, and because of the dysfunction and the chaos from the alcoholic parent, I wasn't seen. When I was a senior in high school, my father was diagnosed with metastatic lung cancer. And to drive the point home even more, in the hospital setting in the 1974, when he died, they didn't discuss diagnosis with the dying patient. So here was my father lying in a hospital bed with metastatic tumors just hanging off his body, smoking cigarettes in the hospital room, dying of lung cancer, and no one was talking about it. So
it was a system of denial, it sounds like, within your own family, and then that was affirmed, really, when there was the avoidance of confronting the diagnosis then with your father. That's what it sounds like.
That's right. Yeah. And the following year, now I had been schooled in a parochial Catholic education with the little nuns who, you know, there's a polarity to everything. I mean, growing up with the alcoholic father was a difficult thing, but it was also my gift as well because it opened doors for me. Growing up with the nuns who were so punitive and controlling was also a gift because daily I was immersed in the spiritual tradition. So there was a real polarity to, you know, the growing up as, you know, the wounded child. going off to college the year after my father died, I had always wanted to be a nurse. Nursing was something that I had wanted to do. But I found when I got into my first year of college, away from the dysfunctional family, here I was for the first time, footloose and fancy free at UMass Amherst in the early 70s. And
great party school, by the way, Janice, right?
What's that?
Yeah.
What did you say?
Great party school.
Well, it was, and believe me, honey, I immersed. And that was part of my journey as well. Part of my journey was to go through that addictive process and, you know, to seal over my wounds so that I didn't have to feel them or go into the depths to feel them.
Well, interestingly enough, whenever we have conversations with psychiatric or mental health nurses, almost always there is an invitation into that that specialty via family backgrounds and the need and the desire to process through an understanding of what has come before.
Absolutely.
Yes. So you found yourself, I know, after college, you were working in psychiatric hospitals, and at that point in time, you were very much focused on the psychological. How did your journey evolve then to your interest in the hands-on energetics and ultimately nursing and aromatherapy?
Yes. Upon graduating from college, I came back to Boston, and Amherst during the 70s was a real counterculture, and it wasn't happening in Boston. There was a lot of complementary therapies, a lot of herbal therapies and massage therapies, a lot of crunchy, groovy people in Amherst back in the 70s. When I came back to Boston, that seed had been planted. I had the good fortune of connecting with some wonderful teachers over the years that guided me, gently nudged me in the right direction. When I came back to Boston, I began a graduate program at Interface, it was a graduate program in holistic health, education, and counseling. And for the next 2 years, I met with a group of 30 classmates and some wonderful teachers from across the New England area, specialists in holistic practice, and just had a wonderful immersion into relaxation and meditation and centering and just all these wonderful techniques, which for me was more about my own personal healing. I wasn't ready to take it to the professional level yet because there was so much of my own wounds coming up. The bomb of the addictions over the years wasn't holding. My own wounds were coming to the surface, you know, and through my own process of confronting my own demons, the healing process had begun. I finished up the graduate program without completing the degree, but finishing up the experiential component of it, and was drawn immediately to study polarity therapy with Nancy Anna Risley of the Polarity Realization Institute. She was in Gloucester at the time, and so for the next year I studied hands-on energetic healing system, working with the chakras and the energy system, and was just a continuation of my own healing process. And things really began to shift for me at that point. I started my own polarity practice in the greater Boston area, and knew after working in psychiatric hospitals in the Boston area that I wanted to go and pursue my nursing degree at that time. I knew that nursing was something that I had always been called to, but because of my acts of defiance, I had put it off. Now looking back on it, I realized it was all divinely planned. I was meant to go that way. I found myself back in nursing school in the early 80s. I did a two-year nursing program at Bristol Community College, and knew immediately that I wanted to do psychiatric nursing. I had a psychiatric nursing professor. I'll never forget her words. She said, "The most important tool that you have as a psychiatric nurse is your therapeutic presence. It's the gift of yourself, the therapeutic tool of self." And I thought that was just so profound.
Yeah.
You know, I would look around and see nurses, how stressed out they were and how little self-care there was going on. You know, nurses traditionally don't take care of themselves too well. You know, we take care of everyone else, and when there's just that little bit of time left over, we rarely get to ourselves. And
Brought up a subject here, Janice, that
I've seen myriad addictions.
You brought up the subject of the wounded healer, which I think is really a theme, and there have been many topics of books and seminars and workshops that have addressed the fact that many of us who are in the healing arts are actually searching on our own path of wholeness. And you talked about being the invisible child, not being seen and not being heard. And isn't that what drives so many of us to recognize the need for that, and how each one of us wants to be seen, wants to be heard, wants to be valued? So in a way, it's very interesting, although certainly not all nurses come from wounded backgrounds. It's almost as if some of the prerequisite, we were talking to one nurse who was involved in research, and they did a little research on oncology nurses. Why did nurses who went into oncology, hospice, who worked with oncology patients, why were there so many nurses who went into oncology hospice work? And what was the common denominator? And what they found these very particular patterns of loss and grief. So the question that you raise is a really tantalizing one, about the wounded healer and the process that it invites us into, and as a result of that invitation, the pattern of work and passion that we bring to serving ourselves through learning and serving other people. Now, we're going to take a two-minute break. When we come back, we want to talk more about your extraordinary journey, because you have done some phenomenal things. The fact that, you know, you created the first aromatherapy program in New Bedford at St. Luke's. You were on the committee that affected that extraordinary licensing advisory on holistic nursing in Massachusetts. You've made an incredible journey through all of this, and when we come back, we want to stay on the road with your story, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Selma, and I'll be your server this evening. The special is pasta primavera, and it comes with a salad. Oh, and by the way, I abuse my children. Lots of times, I beat them for even the smallest reason. When they really get on my nerves, I lock them in the closet for a few hours.
If only child abuse were this easy to recognize, perhaps then more people would report it. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help USA at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's 1-800-422-4453. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. And we can help you. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So remember, 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's 1-800-422-4453. Child Help USA. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help USA and the Ad Council.
I'm not stupid. I'm not lazy.
I'm not slow.
I'm not distracted.
I'm not unfocused. I'm not dumb.
Kids with learning difficulties are not what they appear to be. In fact, a lot of these kids are smart. They just learn differently. Today, there are millions of kids with learning difficulties, and they're struggling in school. If you're the parent of a child who's struggling to learn, the more you learn, the better off your child will be. If you act now and get proper help, your child can do well in school and in life. So if you think that there's something wrong, do something right. Now, get help. For free information, visit www.focusonlearning.org. www.focusonlearning.org or call 1-888-478-MIND. Do it for your child. Do it for yourself. But do it now. Because your child wants you to remember just one thing.
I'm smart.
A message from the Advertising Council and the CCLD.
Welcome back to Celebrating Whole Health, a program that focuses on reinvigorating, remembering, and creating a renaissance of relationship-centered whole person care. I'm your host, Georgiana Donadio, the program director for the New England School of Whole Health Education in Boston. And today our guest is Nurse Janice Gagnon-Warr, who has an incredible background and history and journey in holistic nursing, particularly focusing on her passion, which is aromatherapy. Janice, before the break, we were talking about so many things, and especially the wounded healer, and how, in fact, your background led you actually to pursue with a great deal of passion the notion of your wholeness and becoming this integrated, seen and heard individual that is valued and is sharing her life in a very moving and spiritual way. Can you tell us, from the time you graduated nursing school, I believe you immediately went to work in the hospital setting. Can you tell us about that part of your journey how that evolved?
Yes. Immediately upon graduating from nursing school, during nursing school, we were discouraged to go right into a specialty, but I knew my calling was psychiatric nursing. When I got into nursing, I had suffered many, many losses. I knew that where I belonged. I knew I belonged on the psych unit, healing souls. At this point, I was involved in a 12-step recovery program. I had lost my father years earlier. I had lost a marriage. I had lost a child. I had lost a best friend. I had lost so much. I was ready to just begin a new life, a new career, and I immediately went into the psych unit, and I just loved it. I worked 40 hours on the evening shift. It was just wonderful. I felt like I was home. I loved the caring. I just loved it. I loved everything about it. And as the years started to go by, a couple of years into my nursing practice, I became involved. I found out and became involved with the American Holistic Nurses Association. There was a number of programs that I was very drawn to. You know, I initially studied the Healing Touch program. I found that it was very similar to my polarity therapy background, so I didn't pursue that. As a member of the Holistic Nurses Association, I received a newsletter called Beginnings, which comes out quarterly. And every month I would read that newsletter, every inch, page, you know, cover to cover. And one month I remember seeing a piece about a nurse from England who was teaching courses in clinical aromatherapy in locations like Florida and Mexico and California. And at the time, I had two small children and couldn't travel off to distant locations. So I decided, being the entrepreneurial spirit that I am, that I would call Jane Buckle in England one Sunday morning and see if she would come here to us, to Massachusetts.
Good for you.
It was. It was. I can remember the day vividly. And it took a few phone calls, but I did get Jane Buckle on the phone, and she was a little taken back. She asked me to send a resume and my intentions and what I thought she could offer us, and I did that. And within 6 months, Jane was in Massachusetts teaching a group of 15 nurses from around Massachusetts the fine art of clinical aromatherapy.
Now, this was conducted at St. Luke's Hospital.
That's right.
That's correct. And in addition to that, had you at this point become board certified as a psychiatric and medical nurse?
Yes.
Or
yes. I was ANCC, the American Nurses Credentialing Center, certified in psychiatric and mental health nursing.
Right. I want to kind of stack the deck because I know how the drama unfolds, so I want I want the audience to kind of have a bigger picture that here you were, and you had a wonderful position. You had a great supervisory leadership role at the hospital, at the Department of Psychiatric Health, and you single-handedly created, with the support of a dozen or so other nurses in the area, the first Massachusetts regional aromatherapy course that was taught right there in the hospital. So I just want to let everybody know, because the drama is building.
Yes, and it was awesome. Jane came every few months and spent two full days with us, just immersing us in this whole new language of the use of essential oils for their therapeutic properties. I thought I was getting into a nice smelly, going and smelling oils and things smell nice, sort of a fluffy modality. Little did I know I would be studying organic chemistry, botany, taxonomy, nursing process in depth, conducting research. It was a really difficult program, and it was a very strenuous process of completing case studies and doing research, and finally the course culminated in presenting a piece of research to a panel of experts. It was really graduate material, I thought, but it was an awesome experience. But while I was going through the training, this group of nurses that I worked with and myself on the Rogers unit at St. Luke's worked the 3 to 11 shift, and we would come into work at on our 3 to 11 shift, and of course we'd have all our lovely oils that we had been studying from the module before with Jane, and we'd have them out and we'd be smelling them. And we noticed very interestingly, without even using them on the patients, that patients were requiring fewer PRN meds, fewer meds for agitation or insomnia. The whole unit seemed calmer. Visitors were calmer. It was just really quite remarkable. You know, I'd like to share the story of a patient that we had who had a tremendous effect from essential oils, which really opened my eyes.
Yes, and before you tell that story, which is an incredible story, I need to share with the audience a quote that I think is just so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
When you actually were first exposed to the oils and you inhaled them,
mm-hmm.
you said, when my limbic system got a whiff of that, I was in heaven.
Yeah.
So that I guess aromatherapy for you was opening doors that
absolutely
that actually begin to keep opening as the story of your St. Luke's patient evolves.
Yes, and just to expand on that a little bit.
Yes,
I think,
please, if you would share that wonderful story with us.
Yes. We had a client who was admitted for a first-time psychotic break. She was visiting from another country and didn't speak English. I think she was 16 or 17 years old. She was a young lady. And she was floridly psychotic when she was brought into the unit, the locked unit. The protocol to manage someone in such an acute psychosis is a technique called rapid neuroleptization tranquilization. It's the use of rapidly administering high doses of antipsychotic and benzodiazepine medication to sedate the patient with the theory that they'll go down into a deep sedation, and as they come up from the sedation 24 to 48 hours later, they're more reorganized and less psychotic. This young lady came in on the day shift, had been medicated every 2 hours as protocol, and when I got there at 3 o'clock, the patient still was not sedate. She was in a seclusion room fighting the sedation. 3 o'clock, when you come into work on the 3 to 11 shift, you immediately go to a back room for report from the day shift. And as usual, while I was listening to taped report, I would take out my new essential oils and let the nurses sniff them while we were listening to report. And I happened to test a most beautiful high altitude French lavandula angustifolia. It was just an exquisite oil, which has profound properties of relaxation and sedation. Some research shows it's comparable to a Valium sedation, this lavender. After report, after we had all had our nice sniff of oils, out to the floor we went. The patient had been assigned to me, and it was my role to then go and give her her next round of IM meds. Security was called. The team was gathered, the meds were drawn up, and into the seclusion room we went. Now, you've got to think about it, a 17-year-old child away from home in the throes of a first-time psychotic break doesn't take kindly to 5 or 6 burly security guards and, you know, 5 or 10 nursing staff coming at them with IM meds, intramuscular medications. When we went into the room, her eyes were shut. She was thrashing. And as I approached her gently, I saw her eyes dot open in recognition of something, and she began to sniff the air. She was smelling the lavender oil that I had been had on my hands just 10 minutes earlier. It caught her attention. It, her reaction startled me so much that I actually jumped back, and I remember hearing someone in the team saying, put your hands back. Continue to do what you were doing. It was helping her. So I put my hands back into her energy field. And for those of you out there that do healing touch, you know there's a technique called magnetic unruffling, where we bring the hands down into the energy field about 4 or 5 inches above the physical body, and just gently run our hands from the top of the head 4 or 5 inches over the body down to the feet. As I brought my hands down through her field, her whole energetic being, her whole body, her whole physical being started to quiver. I'm thinking, oh my God, now she's going to have a seizure. But she wasn't having a seizure. She was just settling down. By the time I got my hands to her feet, she sat up, bolt upright in her jerry chair that she was sitting in, opened her eyes, looked at me, and said, agua. She was asking for water. In that instant, she had organized enough that she knew where she was. She knew she had been incontinent for the last 24 hours. She asked us to bring her to the bathroom. We ambulated her to the bathroom. She had a drink of water. We freshened her up. We brought her back to her room, laid her on her bed, and she proceeded to go into a very deep, profound sleep. She didn't need that extra medication. It was
what
a psychiatrist sitting
story.
Outside of the room during all of this, and I said to him, well, what do you think of that? He said it was quite impressive, but I really think it was just the medication kicking in.
So the psychiatrist's reaction was that it was a delayed response from the medication.
Yes, yes.
Which happened to be concurrent with the fact that you approached her in this very mindful and healing way with the aromatherapy still on your hands.
And that's what our holistic complementary therapies do. We enhance the traditional approaches. We have this bag of tricks that we can pull out these wonderful, relaxing, calming, healing modalities to speed up the healing process. Aromatherapy or healing touch isn't meant to take the place of traditional medical care. We want to integrate it. We want to have the best of all possible treatment options available. So that was a real awesome turning point for me. The patient went down to sleep, and when she woke up, you know, a couple of days later, she was totally reorganized, and she remembered me, too. It was really very sweet. But I knew that instance, and I could tell you dozens of scenarios like that, which just continued to present themselves to me to show me that this stuff works.
Well, as wonderful as that story is, and thank you so much for sharing it, we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, we want to talk about what happened at the hospital as a result of that particular encounter and how it actually brought you to yet another level of working very passionately with aromatherapy and patients. So we're going to take a 2-minute break. We'll be right back.
2 6-year-olds. They go to the same school, sit in the same classroom, have the same teacher, and they're both very bright. Yet these 2 6-year-olds are very different. One is thriving in school. The other is struggling. A lot of kids who struggle to learn are smart. They just learn differently. And the more you know as a parent, the better off your child will be. If you act now and get the proper help, your child can do well in school and in life. So if you think that there's something wrong, do something right. Now, get help. For free information on how to help your child, visit www.focusonlearning.org. www.focusonlearning.org. Or call 1-888-478-MIND. Do it for your child. Do it for yourself. But do it now. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coordinated Campaign for Learning Disabilities.
In this column, you can see third quarter earnings are up 7% above projected growth. Oh, and as I mentioned to the board of directors, I'm an abusive father. Not only do I physically abuse my two young children all the time, I neglect them as well. I often leave them alone for hours at a time without any supervision.
If only child abuse were this easy to recognize, perhaps then more people would report it. If you even suspect abuse, call Child Help USA at 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's 1-800-422-4453. We've helped millions of people help millions of children. And we can help you. All calls are anonymous and confidential. So remember, 1-800-4-A-CHILD. That's 1-800-422-4453. Child Help USA. Trust your instincts. A public service message brought to you by Child Help USA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Celebrating Whole Health. We are with Nurse Janice Gagnon-Warr, who is a board-certified psychiatric and mental health nurse, as well as an aromatherapist. And Janice, before the break, you were telling us a very moving and meaningful story about your experience on the psychiatric unit of St. Luke's Hospital, where you had an encounter of an unusual kind, especially for those for that time in the history of psychiatric care, where you had been exposed, your hands had been exposed to the lavender aromatherapy that you were working and sharing with other nurses on your break, and when you approached a patient who was in quite a state, it really made a difference. And you also told us about the psychiatrist who was in attendance, about his reaction to that. Now, subsequent to that particular really wonderful healing story, something else came behind it, though, which led to a very interesting kind of trail of events. If you would tell us all about the evolution of what came out.
Well, after that incident, I know at the same time that that happened, there were other nurses in the hospital who were learning healing touch and therapeutic touch. And nurses were using these modalities with clients in, you know, very gentle pain management and stress management modalities. However, there hadn't been any ruling. And in nursing, nurses love rules and regulations and policies and procedures. And if there isn't a policy and procedure in place, things need to stop. And that's just what happened after this incident. Word got out. We were using essential oils and we were using aromatherapy. We'd had no adverse effects to any of it, but just the fact that there was no policy and procedure ruffled feathers. And an email was sent out to all of the nurses in the hospital stating that any use of aromatherapy or any touch modalities, including therapeutic touch or healing touch, were not acceptable nursing practice. And any nurse who continued to practice such modalities would be subject to disciplinary action. It took my breath away when I saw that email. I was so disappointed. It was the beginning of a process for me of leaving my position. I had been there for 11 years at that point, and I knew that I had to move on in my nursing career, that it was time to take my whole package of who I was as a healer, as a psychiatric nurse, to a community where the holistic nursing picture could be supported. And so after much deliberation, I left the job with the benefits and the pension and the security and the Blue Cross and all of that wonderful stuff. And I took this enormous leap of faith into the unknown, and I gave my resignation.
When you told me that story, when you told me that
story, the psychiatric team who I had worked with, the physician, the psychiatrist in chief, in charge, was so disappointed in my decision. He said, "You were such a promising nurse." So off I went. Off I went.
Janice, when you told me that story initially,
yes,
you were sharing, and I know that many of the nurses can totally relate to this. You had,
yes,
all the security. You had,
yes,
tenure. You were a leader. You,
yes,
were the boss. You had a tremendous package that,
yes,
you were enjoying in terms,
yes,
of your benefits and your seniority. And you used an expression you took a leap. It took a leap of courage. It required a leap of courage.
Absolutely.
And I think we can all relate to this. And I want to speak to this because you need to be congratulated. Here you were, sitting in the catbird seat, so to speak. You loved your job. It was incredibly stable and secure. You had everything you needed mm-hmm. in terms of your benefits, your salary, your position. And your heart and your soul and your spirit as a human being said to you, I cannot function from my heart and from the work that I'm called to do in this environment. And
right.
what a remarkable decision, and congratulations on your courage to step out of that, to move out of that,
yeah.
and follow your heart.
Yeah. Well, I think any great work that we do always requires a tremendous act of courage. I don't think anything comes easily. That's always been my experience. I have to get hit upside the head, and I think that courage is just such. It's a difficult thing for a lot of people to access, and I've seen a lot of good nurses get very stuck in. And why do you think nurses are leaving nursing by the droves? Because they're afraid to leave, and they become burnt out as they hang on to the security, and they just get so burnt out that they leave nursing altogether.
This is a very, very important thing because our program is. It's the brainchild of our producer, Bill May, who saw and who sees the need for a collective voice for nurses to speak,
yeah.
to relate, to share, to identify, to say, we can do the work we love, we can be where we need to be and want to be, and yet we can have a way of speaking, a language, we can have a dialogue and tools that we can share with one another, that even in the worst adverse type of care situations, we can bring a consciousness, a mindfulness, and a healing presence, not only to our patients, but to one another. And it's nurses such as yourself, Janice, who have really pioneered and created the opportunities through the programs. And we're going to get into, I mean, what you did as a result of this, and I would love for you to talk about how you went into the skilled home care, and then ultimately you were called back
yes.
to the very hospital that mm-hmm. you left because you could not do your work, and then ultimately how you worked on the laws to change the whole nursing licensure. So if you'd bring us to what happened after you left the hospital.
Yes, I embraced my healing practice. I was working out of my home, seeing one patient here, one patient there. I began doing visiting psychiatric home care nursing with a company that was awesome. They totally embraced aromatherapy and any type of healing touch. It was a very progressive company. However, after a few years of doing that, home care got difficult with kids and the beeper and being on call all the time. I just lost my train of thought.
You were talking about doing your skilled home care and how things
right.
got
doing
complex, trying to, you know,
at
be
the
with
same,
the kids and
yes,
listen
at
to
the
your
same
beeper.
Time, when I left the hospital, I contacted the Board of Registration in Nursing up in Boston because I wanted some guidance about how to proceed from a legal point of view as a registered nurse and as a clinical aromatherapist and a massage and polarity practitioner. Could I call myself a nurse massage therapist? So I called the Board of Registration up in Boston, and as fate would have it, the day I called, a decision, a team was being pulled together to create a committee to look at holistic nursing practice and the use of complementary therapies. I guess they had been receiving many calls from nurses like myself seeking guidance about how to proceed with their nursing license.
Talk about synergy, huh?
That's right. And I was invited to join a group. There were maybe 15 to 20 nurses from across the state. We met regularly over the following maybe 18 months to look at that issue. We did extensive literature reviews to determine basic nursing educational requirements, if there was any professional nursing organization which prohibited the use of complementary therapies. We did a thorough search of nursing research. We looked at scope of nursing practice. We did a lot of homework, and in September of 1997, we brought our findings to the board in Boston. And the board, surprisingly, we were very surprised, because if you think of Massachusetts, it's a very puritanical state, and we never thought that Massachusetts would approve the use of holistic therapies by nurses, but they did. Massachusetts became the first, actually we were the third state to issue an advisory ruling for nurses, but Massachusetts was the first state to issue an advisory ruling that specifically said that nurses could use aromatherapy with the proper training and documentation of proficiency in the modality.
Well, isn't this remarkable? Because you shared with me your experience as a, you know, as a group of walking in and being from Massachusetts myself, and knowing that we live in the bastion of the American Medical Association for all of its good and its wonderful, wonderful service. There are, as with everything, there's always a, you know, another side to it. And I think what you're talking about is the very particular and probably rightfully so, the very particular concerns about the appropriateness of practice, which I think serves all of us. So here you are sitting in front of this very stately board,
yes.
And I'm looking as we're speaking to the advisory ruling that's in front of me that you were kind enough to fax over. And isn't that wonderful and remarkable that the Board of Registration in Nursing here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts was the first state in the United States to invite and permit the use of aromatherapy. And now, as a result of that, aren't you something? I mean, you made history here, and again, look at the incredible work that has come out of what you called the woundedness of your earlier years. Isn't it amazing how so much beauty can come from suffering? And from this, remarkably, you were called back to the very hospital that you left.
Well, that's right. After the advisory ruling was passed, Georgiana, doors flew open in every direction. I couldn't keep up with it. We got calls from people all over Massachusetts and nursing homes and hospitals inviting us to come in and speak. And the hospital, the very hospital that I had left a couple years earlier, invited me to come back and assist in the development of the complementary therapy program in the outpatient oncology department, as well as putting together a CEU program for nurses in clinical aromatherapy, which, by the way, I have taught to over 100 nurses since 1997. I've had the distinct pleasure of teaching clinical aromatherapy to nurses from Cape Cod and Falmouth hospitals to up to Abington, all over the southeastern Massachusetts area.
We have to expand that, though, right?
Yes.
And one of the things that I know, Dr. Jane Buckle, who was your mentor,
yes,
and teacher, Jane has a program that is endorsed by the American Holistic Nurses Association, and is, I think she's considered standard bearer in terms of training here in the United States for nurses practicing aromatherapy. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And you are a you are kind of one of the branches of that tree, I believe. The work that you're doing,
yes,
is really an extension. You want to talk about your relationship with Jane? We're going to actually, I just got a little light go on here. We're going to take, if you can believe this, another break. Boy, does time go by.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, would you share about Jane's work and your work and how you're doing an extension of this fabulous aromatherapy teaching? We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
This is Richard Tyson. Most people think of the Shriners as a fun organization, but they have a serious side too. How do I know? Well, I'm a Shriner. Shriners Hospitals provide kids with expert medical care totally free of charge. And they combine orthopedic and burn care with progressive research and innovative teaching programs. There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. For more information, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Do you know what a child who can't read grows up to be? A statistic.
I know I should read to my son more, but I'm just too tired.
Well, how tired will you be of getting notes from school that your child can't keep up with the class? 2 out of 3 African-American fourth graders are struggling to read. Reading to your child now for just 15 minutes a day can make a lifetime of difference. To get Read and Rise, a free booklet on how you can help your child become a good reader, call 1-866-522-READ. A public service message brought to you by the National Urban League and the Ad Council.
And we're back. We are speaking to Nurse Janice Gagnon-Warr, who is a nurse specialist in psychiatric mental nursing care, as well as a clinically trained aromatherapist. Janice, before the break, we were talking about Dr. Jane Buckle from England, who is probably the definitive expert and expert training program on aromatherapy. And I know you are now really carrying forth the same kind of work and training that you actually got Jane to bring over here a number of years ago. Tell us about your work and tell us about Jane's work. And because people want to know, how can they get a hold of you? How can they hear more about your training? So if you'd be good enough.
Yes, I do not teach Jane Buckle's course. Unfortunately, I was unable to continue on my training with Jane because of time restraints with my young family. And undaunted by that roadblock, I went on and created my own course, which is MNA certified, Massachusetts Nurses Association, which offers 45 CEUs. Certainly, the work that I teach is based on Jane Buckle's course, as she was my mentor. My course is a 15-week program in the use of medicinal strengths, essential oils, and hydrosols, which is the end product of the distillation process to get the oils, in a clinical in the clinical setting. Using nursing process, I gear my course just toward nurses because of the advisory ruling. Once that advisory ruling was passed, I knew that I had to get this advisory ruling knowledge out to nurses. Nurses didn't know about it. It wasn't that widespread. So I created this course, 15 weeks, 3 hours once a week. Most of my peers, most of my comrades in nursing are working full-time with young families and can't be away from home for long periods of time. So I made the course very succinct, financially affordable, time-wise, very doable. And I focused on nursing process using nursing diagnosis. Nurses can diagnose. Nurses have a wonderful system of diagnosing called NANDA, the North American Nursing Diagnosis Association. We have a whole series of nursing diagnoses when we develop care plans for our patients that we utilize to identify patient problems and patient needs. We then go on to develop care plans based on what is called nursing interventions. We have a whole list of interventions that we can use, from IM medications to barium enemas to IV therapy to now the use of aromatherapy, because we have this beautiful advisory ruling that says if you've completed a CEU training taught by a nurse who has a clinical competency in that modality, then you can practice. So that's why I've had people call that aren't nurses, and I really prefer to stick with nurses who can use nursing diagnosis, because we're using these essential oils as medicinal, nature's medicine. We're looking at patients with insomnia or chronic pain issues or an inflammation or a muscle spasm. And all of those words I just used are all nursing diagnoses. And we can use, and we have a law and a rule that says nurses can use aromatherapy under their nursing care plan.
That is so wonderful, Janice. Now, is this actually going on in the hospitals and in the nursing homes? I mean, do you see, are you beginning to see an integration of this kind of modality with nursing modalities on the wards and on the floors?
Yes, it's taken a lot of education, and we're beginning to see more and more facilities interested in sending key nurses to learn the clinical aromatherapy training and then sending them back to their hospital or nursing home or home care site to set up complementary therapy programs and get it running. Part of my course teaches how to set up policy and procedure, looking at safety and record keeping and assessment. So it's a very important piece. But you're seeing more and more of it. I know hospitals all over. I know Falmouth Hospital. I know Cape Cod Hospital. I know many of the nursing homes in this area have sent nurses. Like I said earlier, I've trained over 100 nurses in clinical aromatherapy with backgrounds in OBGYN, critical care, ER, hospice, OB, long-term care, taking the course and then learning how to implement it, looking to the safety of their specific population. You know, safety is so key when you're integrating aromatherapy into patient care, because even though these essential oils are pure and medicinal, they have the potential to have problems. Patients with certain medical problems or in certain medications, there are certain contraindications you need to look at, certain allergic issues and sensitivity issues and irritation issues and photosensitivity issues, which you really need to be key on to go in and practice aromatherapy safely.
I think that that's a very important point to make, and we often like to mention from time to time that sometimes we believe erroneously that if it's natural, it's safe, it's pure, it's fine, it's okay, but anything that has the potential for good also has the potential for the opposite reaction. So I can see the wisdom in your wanting to focus in on teaching this to nurses or clinicians who have the ability to access that additional information and work with that additional information to keep it.
To expand on that just a little more, Georgiana, we in aromatherapy have a national association. It's called the National Association of Holistic Aromatherapy. And last year, myself and another woman who is a psychotherapist from Connecticut, Kristen Barber, were pulled in to develop a white paper on the safety of using essential oils topically and undiluted. We did an extensive research on essential oils and their topical application and helped the NAHA, the National Association of Holistic Aromatherapy, create a safety guideline based on the research that we did. So that was another huge piece of work, developing the position statement for NAHA on the safe application of essential oil. So it's huge.
Well, but doing that kind of work is precisely what is going to allow aromatherapy to be integrated more fully as a nursing modality. And again, I want to congratulate you on the many different steps in your career that clearly have seen you as an instrument of change and an instrument for transformation, another step of transformation towards a more whole person-oriented health system. You know, sometimes, especially when I'm speaking to wonderful nurses like yourself, I think it's great that sometimes we don't recognize the contribution we're making because, you know, we don't, it really doesn't serve us to focus in on that at all. But it's also important for us to recognize that each one of us is invited in our own unique way with all of our scars and our suffering and our woundedness and our beauty and our brains and our passion and our talent. Mm. We're invited to make this unique contribution. And Janice, your contribution has been so focused and vast and heartfelt and passionate that we are all so much richer for the work that you've done. And I think that it is a joy when we share these stories. And I thank you for coming today to talk about and to share your personal story and how it has led to these remarkably wonderful options in care and in training. We're going to take a very short break. When we come back, we want your phone number. Mm-hmm. We want your email. We want to know where we can send nurses to contact you so that they can be part of this opportunity to add the modality of aromatherapy to their work. So don't go away, and when we come back, we also want to hear your final thoughts on your experience with aromatherapy. We'll be right back.
Which sound is more disturbing, the crying child or the total absence of footsteps from anyone coming to help? AIDS has created over 14 million orphans worldwide. That's the equivalent of every child under 5 in America with nobody to watch over them. To help, please go to apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
Brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
And we're back on Celebrating Whole Health, which is what we have done today with Janice Gagnon-Warr. Janice, in these last few moments, we would like your contact information. And if you would, when you're done giving us that, if you would just share your final thoughts with the nursing audience on aromatherapy.
Yes, thanks, Georgiana. It's been a joy sharing this morning with you. My contact information is South Coast Aromatherapy, and my office phone number is 508-997-3000, and my email is jgwarr@aol.com.
Would you repeat that phone number again?
Phone number is 508-997-3000.
And what we want to hear are your last offerings to us regarding the use of aromatherapy in clinical nursing practice.
I just want to encourage any nurses that are out there that feel the least bit drawn to embracing complementary therapies, to not wait, to get out there and find the time, take that course, whether it's in healing touch or therapeutic touch or clinical aromatherapy, whether it's with me or I know there are other nurses. I know Lorraine Kyle has a wonderful program out in Colorado, and Valerie Cooksley, and in Florida we have Scylla Shepard-Hanger, and Jane Buckle certainly is in every state in the country. So don't wait. Embrace your healing. And it's just been such an awesome journey for me, integrating the oils and in my own private practice, creating sacred space, a sacred healing space, so people can come and access their wounds and their healing process using the essential oils and the beauty of the gifts of energy therapy. It's just an awesome process, and I'm just so grateful to have been given the opportunity to be who I truly am. It's a true gift, and I'm grateful.
Well, Janice, we are grateful that we have had this time with you. We thank you so much. Continue in your extraordinary work and your extraordinary crusade. I mean, I feel as if you are kind of a little like Joan of Arc. You've kept going. You've lashed your courage to the mast, and God bless you. We're very grateful. Have a wonderful day, and we hope that you're going to be back with us tomorrow. We have an outstanding nurse, Maureen Spencer, who's a holistic nurse, and she is also the director of infection control at one of the leading hospitals here, the New England Baptist Hospital in Boston. She was also for many years with the Mass General Hospital, and she has much to share with us about yoga. We'll be back tomorrow, and have a wonderful day.